Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played Kelly Clarko Clarkson, What Doesn't Kill You?
I'm so fascinated with you calling her Clarko.
I don't know, Dave. It just seems like she would be the type of person that would go by Clarko.
Or maybe Kelly Clarkson would prefer Keza.
Yeah.
Does Keza sound like something that would work for Kelly
like
Clarkson?
I like Clarko because it's got more oomph to it, you know?
Clarko sounds like she works down at the milk bar.
Yeah.
You know, and
hey, Clarko.
Hey, Clarko, you know, do you mind lifting the crates for us?
Yeah, yeah.
Just imagine Kelly Clarkson working in a milk bar lifting crates. Destiny unfulfilled. Look, Jade, today I've been thinking a lot about, you know, I've been reminiscing a lot about cassettes, and one particular format of music I don't seem to have but really want to have is the cassette single, mm-hmm. or more commonly known as the K-single.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people are very shocked to hear this, but, you know, I basically went on Twitter this afternoon and said, do you know what? I've actually never seen a K-single.
K-singles.
I've never seen a K-single, never held one in my entire life because mm-hmm. when I was growing up in the 90s, you know, we were living in Malaysia
mm-hmm.
and I don't think Malaysians or Malaysian retailers stock CD singles, let alone cassette singles. So none of that was happening when I was growing up. So although everyone was really shocked that I've never actually come across a cassette single before,
mm-hmm.
you know, this was just life for me in the 90s, Jade.
I remember like being, you know, a young little thing and go, you know, that was, you'd save up all your pocket money and you
How
would
much
go,
did they cost?
It must have been less than $5. Mm-hmm. And you would save up all your pocket money and then you would go and buy the new cassette singles. And it was like really exciting. It was a, you know, and then you'd go home and you'd listen in your room to.
But like the singles would have what, 5 tracks? As it would a regular single, maybe. Two?
I think 5 might have been a bit generous. Probably about 3 or 4 max. You know, I had you could get double singles as well, K-singles as well. So, like, you know, Roxette like released this one that was like 2 of their bigger songs and then, you know, some B-sides as well. So
there was like side A and side
yeah,
B?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I like that. See, I'm really desperate to find a K-single, but I don't want to just settle for any kind of K-single. I want to be a K-single of a song that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Roxette. It must have been Love.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. I need, if there is a K-single of that song out there, I would really want to have that.
Another one, you know, another band I had a lot of K-singles of were like NKOTB.
Oh, yeah. New Kids on the Block.
I mean, obviously I owned all of their full albums as well.
But you're so dedicated, you got the K-singles as well.
Yeah, yeah. Because you can't wait, Dave, for the album to come out. You have to get the K-single.
And, you know, if you had held on to them, which you didn't.
No.
Very, you know, devastated to hear. If you had, I mean, how beautiful would it have been, you know, just to have them as collector's editions now?
Well, you know, I do wish that I had hung on to things like that. You know, and I used to have, like, the Culture Club was really big with kids who were my age during the 80s, you know, and I had all the Culture Club albums as well. I like that, you know, just to have that little the connection tangible. To, you know, like that past.
Yeah, and awesome. Things like, you know, the cassette format is not something that we, you know, use very much anymore. So it's a shame.
I don't have a cassette player.
Yeah, neither do I. So there you go. It's if anything, you will want to hang on to it just for memory's sake.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, we've had Sarah from Noble Park call in.
Yes, Sarah from Noble Park. Hello. And hello, like she's about to go on air.
Yeah.
It's okay, girl. You can pretend. It's just you and us anyway.
Yeah.
So Sarah from Noble Park has called us up here at Joy just to say, you know, we were talking about cassette singles before, And she was saying how, you know, she collects vinyl and her kids have destroyed all her vinyl collection. Kids. Come on, they just don't know the value of things, do they?
No, kids these days.
No appreciation.
When I was a youngster,
I wasn't allowed to touch mummy and daddy's things.
I appreciated Kasingles.
Look, if you want to give us a call and share your story about Kasingles or vinyl or anything of that kind of nostalgic music sort that you might have lying around the house, let us know what kind of Kasingles you have or vinyls or whatnot. We'd like to know.
Yes, you can text us 0427 joy 949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au or tweet us at diffstrokes949.
Better yet, you can also do like what Sarah did and give us a dial 1300 joy 949. Now, Jade, look, I'm a big fan of compiling playlists, music playlists.
You've got, it's fair to say, Dave, you've got a playlist for every emotion.
Not really every emotion, but the core emotion and the core times that you want to listen to music, you know, like the times where you're upset. You know, we're talking, I've got angsty playlists when you're just mad at the world.
Yep.
I've got like a pick-me-up kind of survivor playlist for when you, you know, want to go for a walk and want to regain your composure.
Yep.
I've got breakup playlists. I've got falling in love playlists, which I never play anymore because it's just crap.
Yep.
Down with love.
Yeah. You're just so shrewd about that now, aren't you?
Am I?
Yeah.
So basically, I have a playlist for every kind of mood, like you said.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, couple of weekends ago you saw my laptop and probably got a fright looking at all the different types of playlists I have.
Yes.
Now Digster is a website that has music playlists, but here's the situation. I actually went right into it thinking I can create playlists, Jay, because, you know, it's my life, it's what I do.
Yep.
I went on there, signed up, and I couldn't create any playlists.
So
I was thinking, what's the point? How did these playlists get here?
Was that the end of the relationship for you? Or
it was over before it began. Story of my life. Basically, with Digster, the playlists that are on the website are, you know, they come via three different forms. There is live playlists, which works a lot like, you know, music that you hear streaming on radio. So it's kind of like internet radio if you listen to the live playlist. Those ones will be regularly updated with new songs and such. They also have the fixed standard playlist, which is, you know, like the stuff you and I would do at home. Once it's published, that's that. There's no adding to the collection of music. Now, those ones, you know, you'll find that, you know, they are all the playlists on Digster are actually categorized by moods and themes and genres and all sorts of things that you can basically go through the search function and look for, I don't know, road trip style playlists and you'll find it. Or party or something like that.
Do they provide multiple options for the road trip playlist? Like,
yeah. It's endless, really, the possibilities on there. But what really kind of pulled me into Digster, what kind of got me interested in the first place, is hearing about these so-called celebrity playlists. Most of them are musicians themselves. In fact, I'm pretty sure all of them are recording artists that have done playlists for Digster. But some of them, let me just say, I mean, come on, you know, would you put your own songs in your own playlist?
Well, that
looks a bit fishy to me.
That's the $1 million question, right? Like, because a lot of people who make music get asked to, you know, pick their favorite songs of all time.
Would you say your own songs?
There's always that thing about, can you put one of your own songs in your favorite?
And if you do, I mean, are you going to be modest about it? Are you going to put it like track 19?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or put it right up there, right at track one?
And are you going to go with your hits or, you know, some of your underappreciated tracks?
Your B-side. You see, you know, there's a lot of questions to be asked when celebrities make or recording artists make their own playlists. So we've got everyone from Rihanna, Lady Gaga, Jessie J, Kelly Rowland and such. They've all gone on Digster. They've all got their own playlist there. Yeah. Well, their people have compiled it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them put more effort than others, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that have interested me are Florence and the Machine. She's done a very good job with hers. I don't think there was any of her own material on there.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite an eclectic taste of, it was a bit of Madonna on her playlist. There was Joy Division, there's Dusty Springfield, you know?
Yeah, so it's an appreciation of all.
Yeah, and it really kind of reflects on what kind of music she listens to, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Lady Gaga. She did a pretty good job as well.
Mm-hmm.
There actually was a lot of Lady Gaga songs on her own playlist.
She appreciates herself a lot.
She loves the sound of her own voice. But in there, she's also mixed in like Neil Young, David Bowie, and even a random Britney Spears album track.
Ooh.
From the Circus album called Unusual You. So I was like, oh, you go, girl. Okay. All right. And with that, you know, on Gaga's page where her playlist is, she actually gives like a short description of why she has picked those tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because with Digster, there's a bit of a sync with iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And you pointed out off air, Jade, that iTunes also has done something like that before, like a celebrity playlist.
Yeah, they do that kind of regularly.
I have a feeling
that
the playlist I'm seeing on Digster might be the same ones as they are on iTunes.
So they're just doing a pull.
Possibly. I haven't quite investigated the iTunes celebrity list yet.
You're going to get Lady Gaga's iTunes versus Lady Gaga's Digster and go, hang on.
Hang on a minute. But yeah, that's basically what's going on. As for my dilemma before of why I couldn't go on there and create playlists like Lady Gaga and
Is
Rihanna.
Is this going to happen or no?
It's not going to happen because the playlists that I created on there are done by a special team of editors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they don't trust you to make your own playlist decisions. It's all been specially curated for
and
you.
How do you feel like that? About stuff like that, Dave, now that we live in a world where everyone is about making their own decisions and doing their own thing?
I don't think it's for me, to be honest, because I'm so in utter control of the music I listen to. I mean, you know, look at us. We're on air. We pick our own songs on different strokes and such. So I couldn't just go on there unless I just want to tune out and just, you know, I want to listen to something
it's
different.
Background music.
Background music. Then I'll just go on there, hit play on whatever playlist and, you know, clean the house or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, that boy James, our dear friend, has tweeted us to say, for me, nothing beats vinyl, especially when the needle goes over a scratch or some dust and it crackles and pops. It's rad.
Said like a true hipster.
Yeah, he is so hopelessly hipster. It is ridiculous.
I can't possibly compete.
No.
You know, me and my talk of whatever hipstery, vaguely hipstery things
I
try.
Playing Clarko at the top of the show might have just sealed any chance you ever had of being a hipster.
And the fact that I just go on Twitter all the time and rant about how good Danny Minogue is probably takes away my hipster edge.
Any case, Dave, I think the hipsters are going to like Portlandia. So Portlandia, it aired in January in the US. It was a 6-part series. And I guess it kind of became well-known because of the people who were attached to it. It's produced by Lorne Michaels, who is the producer of Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock. Mm. And it stars Fred Armisen, who is a member of the Saturday Night Live crew. But he also, for those who watch 30 Rock, he played the Liz's Middle Eastern neighbor, who she dobbed in.
As a terrorist?
As a terrorist.
Oh, my goodness. That's what I was going to say, because when I read the names of so-and-so from Saturday Night Live, I couldn't imagine it. But the thing with Saturday Night Live crew is that you know them when you see their faces. Mm-hmm. So if you guys watch 30 Rock, he's the one who played, the guy that got dobbed in as a terrorist.
And hilarious. The other main cast member is Carrie Brownstein, she was one of the people in Sleater-Kinney.
I don't know what that is.
It's a band, kind of hipstery style, les band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A hipstery style les band.
Well, I say les because a lot of lesbians like them, but it
doesn't mean that she's a lesbian or her band is, has any lesbian members.
It just has lesbian appeal, really.
Les appeal. Yeah. All right, I'm down with that.
Like girl rock, really.
And girl rock is not lesbian?
Not always, Dave, not always.
What do you mean not always? Is it or is it not? No.
I'm just saying that girl rock normally has lesbian appeal.
Oh, okay.
Not that girl rock and lesbian rock are the same thing.
Okay, all right.
Anyways, so basically the show is kind of skit-like in the way that it tells stories. So effectively the premise of the story, of the show, is they tell skit-like stories about Portland, Oregon in the US, which is kind of known for being this, hipster haven in a way, everyone's into organic food, and it's still the first skit on the show is this musical number that's called The Dream of the 90s is Alive in Portland, and it's all of those things, those ideals that existed in the 90s when Generation X was so huge, and that culture was so huge, it still exists in this little place in Portland. And its tongue is firmly in your cheek about it's obviously aimed at these hipsters and the hipster style, and there's some great quotes in the episodes, there's one that's Portland is where young people go to retire, it's just this utopia for young hipsters to go and hang out and be everything that they can. And so each episode will probably have, I would say, 3 to 4 skits, skit segments, that each, there are sort of follow-throughs, so there are certain sketches that will be in episode 1 and then episode 3, or so the story does continue with some, but then there'll be random sort of ones that just drop in. Some of the really good ones, there's this one that's called that's about Sherlock Homies, who are a professional hide and seek team at a community college. So it's about how they are trying to win the community college championship. So it's got sort of those good little.
Would you say that if you are interested in 30 Rock, you would like Portlandia?
I find it a bit hit and miss, but I feel that way about a lot of skits. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that was really good. Other times I'm like,
because it's supposed to be just satirical, and
it is highly satirical. There's a lot of musical numbers in it too, which I really like. And they've got they've got this really good one where they write a song for Portland, and there's this other one where the mayor goes missing, and they've got to try and save the. And so all of the characters are played by Fred and Carrie, and there's some good guest appearances too, Steve Buscemi is in an episode, Jason Sudeikis, who's probably most famous known for, he's on Saturday Night Live, but he's also known as Floyd, Liz's ex-boyfriend on 30 Rock, Aubrey Plaza, who's from Parks and Recreation.
Love her.
Kyle MacLachlan, who was big in the 90s. Amy, one of my favourite skits, Dave, is Amy Mann and Sarah MacLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan, singer.
Yeah, so Amy Mann, the singer, and Sarah McLachlan. There's this whole skit about how the music industry is so bad that Amy Mann is having to work as Fred and Carrie's house cleaner during the day, and they're big fans of her and all of that. And then, of course, the pull-through of the whole skit is that Sarah McLachlan is their gardener. So there's this kind of – there's this interesting kind of – commentary really about the culture of a place. Yeah, so like I said, there are some hit and miss bits. And
but that sounds funny. Like the sketch that you just described sounds funny and, you know, it makes you think.
Yeah, it does. And it's got some good stuff about, you know, just it's got some good stuff about culture generally, like in hipster culture.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character. Forget what you've heard. Go to listen to Strummy La La music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, we've had a text all the way from Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon itself.
Yeah. Andrea, who is in fact also a Joy member, so congratulations, Andrea.
High fives to you, Andrea.
She says, yes, Portlandia lives. Hello from Portland, Oregon.
That has just made my night just to think that we were talking about Portlandia and, you know.
There's someone listening. It has actually reached. In that moment.
Yeah, it has actually reached Portland.
And then we've also had an email come in from Craig from Point Cook.
Not quite Portland.
No, not quite Portland. But he is a huge fan of Girls Aloud. And he says, evening, Jade and David. Loving the show and listening with my boyfriend. Thanks, Dave, for the info you tweeted me this week. See, private conversation. Conversations, Dave. Private.
Yeah, we're so in touch with our listeners. We never switch off, even though we're off air.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's right.
Tweet us something and we'll give you info.
Because we are the gift that keeps giving. Look, Jade, I'm here right now to review Darren Hayes' new album. I've been waiting so very long for Mr. Darren Hayes to come back with his, well, believe it or not, fourth solo album.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 4 whole years since the last record. So, Jade, it's safe to say that I've maybe written a will in that time, just waiting. I'm a big Darren Hayes fan and, you know, I can't wait to see him live next week when he tours for this album. But, Jade, can I just say, this album actually harks back to more Savage Garden stuff.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, I feel like he's come full circle, so...
Chicken Cherry Cola.
Not quite like that. Not that. I mean, we're talking Secret Codes and Battleship. I mean, this is... It really is an album about love and relationships. And it has a very mature feel to it. And, you know, Darren Hayes has always felt a bit beyond his years, you know, in terms of lyrical content. He's, you know, he's a great songwriter, great communicator of, you know, things that one might be going through in relationships, you know, stuff, you know, songs about insecurities. He's really good at writing songs like that, you know, that really gets you. So this album... finally has the kind of musical backdrop to kind of match its content, if you know what I mean. The last two solo albums he did were incredible. They were actually...
It's fair to say you're a huge fan of that.
Yes. I mean, I'm a big Darren Hayes fan, but in particular, I'm a fan of him circa The Tension and the Spark, which is the second more experimental solo album, and the third solo album he did, This Delicate Thing We've Made. So this is where I come in. And right now, given that he's gone full circle back to sounding more kind of Savage Garden-y with this new album, I'm kind of wondering where fans like me sit, you know, because I kind of came in and really appreciated Darren when he was kind of doing cutting edge electronica. You know, his music had an edge to it, which kind of positioned him and developed him into a pop artist with a bit of a cult following. So now he's gone a bit more mainstream, you know, back into that kind of headspace. I really feel like everyone should be getting behind this album and not just his kind of cult fans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So basically, it's an album full of tender mid-tempos, like I said. Some of the producer he's worked with include Carl Falk, who has done Nicole Scherzinger's UK number one hit, Don't Hold Your Breath. He's also reunited with Walter Afanasieff, who is really prolific in the 90s. You know, he's done big, big, big ballads for Mariah Carey, Celine, and so forth. And the last time these two worked together was on Darren's first solo album, Spin. So, you know, literally come full circle. There's lots of orchestras on this album, Jade. It's very lush. It's a lot of kind of live instrumentation. It has that feel to it, but also like a tinge of, you know, modern synths and electronica in there as well, just to keep that continuity from the recent albums. Some highlights, I would say, Jade, would be Blackout the Sun, the international single, Bloodstained Heart, which is the Australian only single. Seriously, if this song doesn't go top 50. See, I'm being generous now.
Yeah.
Top 50. I'm not even going to like trying to twist somebody's arm and say, oh, you better go top 10. I'm saying, come on, guys. Top 50. Come on. He's not even in the top 100 right now. He just performed the song on X Factor last night.
Yeah.
Bloodstained Heart. So he really needs to go top 50 sometime in the next 7 is to 14
X-Factor
days.
Like, oh, you know, is X Factor like a given you now sell more records? Is it that kind
of? I think there is definitely a presence. Mm-hmm. They have a presence on the charts. A lot of the songs that the contestants cover on the show, the original versions end up re-entering the top 100. So mm-hmm. I don't see why after Darren's performance last night, why Bloodstained Heart can't crack the top 100. So I'm saying, please, this song is defining, so it really needs to go at least top 50. Another highlight on the album for me is Explode, mm-hmm. which is a it's on disc too. This is how much of a fan I am. I went out and got the deluxe edition.
Yeah.
So it's on disc too. But really, Jade, I'm gonna say this album is a grower.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're having like that quick run through, you know how we always do that with new music, you listen to a new album.
Yeah,
just kind of quickly run through it. You know, when you're doing something in a kitchen, just have a listen through. If you're doing that with this album, you're not going to really get it.
Mm-hmm.
You need like a sit down time alone, make yourself a cup of tea. Or I don't know. You're on a train.
Mm-hmm.
Just set aside some alone time and listen to this album, and that's when it's most effective.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.